You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Awesome. So on the 23rd of June 2022, the US Food and Drug Administration moved to ban Juul e-cigarettes from the United States market. Their reasoning? Their business model fails to assure that the user base remains safe while using the product. This motion follows a two-year investigation into the parent company, Juul Labs. But this isn't the first time that Juul Labs has been embroiled in legal controversy. In 2018, the company was struck down on their advertising practices, with the sticking point being their fruit flavors enticing young people to take up vaping. These practices, viewed as predatory, had stuck them on the radar of the FDA ever since. As a result, Juul marketing was cut back significantly, affecting their sales numbers. Fruit and other sweet cartridge flavors were also just taken off the market entirely. And since then, all fruit-flavored vapes have been removed from the US market. Reynolds American Inc., which is the American owners of Vuse Alto, and Puff Bars are not covered by the encroaching restrictions, and both could potentially corner the section of the market that Juul will be restricted on. FDA Commissioner Robert Califf issued a statement on the matter saying that today's actions, the 23rd of June, is further progress of the FDA's commitment that to ensuring that all e-cigarette and electronic nicotine delivery system products currently being marketed to consumers meet their public health standards. The agency has dedicated significant resources to review products from the companies that account for most of the US market, and we recognize that we make up a significant part of the available products, and many have played a disproportionate role in the rise in youth vaping. At this stage, the move has been blocked by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit on the grounds that the court should adequately assess whether Juul needs to action an emergency review. The merits of the claims set by the FDA, however, are not in dispute, but the freeze allows Juul to argue for a longer pause and seek for compensation for the loss that they made in this interim period. The case is set to last until the 12th of July, but that means the decision can go either way. But in New Zealand, it's a different story. None of the major companies are being examined under a microscope here, and vaping rates are on the rise more than ever, especially amongst the youth. But the question should be raised, should a similar outcome occur here if Juul is fully pulled from the US market? Should we look at similar restrictions, or does New Zealand just need to tackle the issue in another way? To answer my inquiries and more, I spoke to Sarah Helm for the New Zealand Drugs Foundation about the culture and safety of vaping in New Zealand and how the US ban could affect us. Before smoking was heavily restricted, it was a social norm for those looking for a break or stress relief. How has vaping sort of filled that void for people?
I think people smoke and vape for a range of different reasons. So whilst that's certainly one reason and a real one, definitely for some people, it's not necessarily the case for all smokers or all vapers. And there's a study recently released in New Zealand that actually asked young people, because there's often a lot of assumptions as to why people do things. So they actually asked young people who had never smoked why they had taken up vaping. They gave a number of reasons. So for example, really enjoying being able to do vape tricks and how that helped them bond with their mates. Some young people reported using nicotine vapes to manage stress or to suppress their appetite. Conversely, some reported experiencing quite a lot of stigma around their vape use. And also a general belief, and actually we'll speak to that probably in a second, but around vaping being safer than traditional cigarettes.
That's a point that I was getting ready to hit on, and the fact that it's increased in frequency in young people. And you've gone into some of the reasons why they feel more comfortable vaping. Is there any more you think you can mine from that?
Well, I don't think necessarily. I mean, I do think that latter point around the comfort around vaping. We have got an incredibly wonderful drop in teenage smoking. So among year 10 students in 2019, we're down to 1.3% of year 10s smoking cigarettes, and a higher rate among Māori youth of 3.4%, but still quite a lot less than it used to be. Now, that has been accompanied by an increase in vaping. But what we also, and of course, you know, I just want to say, I personally don't want to see young people who have never smoked vaping. However, there's not that many that are vaping. So, for example, a quarter of, you know, that same age group that we're talking about, the year 10s, who have vaped have never smoked. So a quarter of quarter of those young people who vape have never smoked, but only 175 year 10s are daily vapers that have never smoked before. So we're talking about quite a specific smaller problem than the overall perception. Nonetheless, about a third of year 10s have had a bash at an e-cigarette. They've had at least a puff. And about 840 of them in total have vaped daily, with obviously the huge preponderance of those having previously been smokers. So just to say also that vaping poses a fraction of the risk of smoking. So it doesn't mean we shouldn't be concerned about it, but essentially most of the harm resides in the cigarette. So it's, vaping is generally 95% less harmful than smoking. So that's quite important, because essentially people die from the smoke, not from the nicotine itself. So vaping is actually a really helpful harm reduction tool. And it's something that we want to protect that, because actually we need that harm reduction tool so that people can give up. And just lastly to say, most young people who vape, it's going to be temporary and experimental. So overreacting, just on an interpersonal level, let alone at a societal level, overreacting to it can actually inflame that. You know what it's like to be a young person, you want to rebel against society. Oh, it's causing a big drama. I'm going to take it up even more. The reaction to it just needs to be a little bit more grounded in science and rational, I think.
Even that goes into the idea that vaping was initially created for those who wanted to wean down or quit smoking as an effective therapeutic tool. How does this track with the rates of vaping increasing, not just for young people, but for like people in general?
It actually does help people quit smoking. And as we've just said, the harm is largely in the cigarette. So it's important to maintain and protect that role of vaping as a harm reduction strategy and a way to give up. And in saying that, you know, there is that growth, but one of the reasons that there's been growth is some of the regulatory changes that we've needed haven't been in place, and they are now, and they're slowly taking effect. So there are now bans and restrictions on advertising and sponsorship sales to young people. For example, you can no longer walk into a dairy and buy a flavoured product. The only place you can get a flavoured product is in a really proper vape retailer, which makes it a lot less accessible and attractive to a young person to have to walk into a shop like that to buy one. Some of those, and there's like regulations on what can be on a packet, and you have to say that it's harmful. All of those things that have taken effect or are slowly taking effect. And so that should hopefully impact the number of people who are taking up vaping who have never smoked before, which I think is probably the most concerning part of it, eh?
To even go on the flavouring thing, like in the United States, Juul e-cigarettes in particular, the ones that have been like majorly targeted by the FDA, including flavors being banned in 2018. And now the FDA is seeking a ban on Juuls entirely, not because they target young people, but because they aren't showing enough evidence that their products are safe. Should New Zealand follow suit with looking at companies like Vuse under a microscope?
So essentially they're prosecuting one, which doesn't necessarily address the wider problem. And the main problems with those products, I think, were them both being flavoured and also high in the nicotine content. So what we would prefer is more some of the regulations that I was just talking about. So obviously we have a preference for lower harm products and products that can't be tampered with, so not the heat not burn ones where people can chuck in and other stuff. You sort of want a more regulated product and environment. And obviously, that includes the lower nicotine. And saying that, when somebody's first giving up cigarette, they actually might want a higher concentration of nicotine to enable them to be successful. So it's all about how these things are packaged and regulated and how they are promoted and all of that kind of stuff. And one of the other things around the regulations is vaping products now have to be registered. They have to list their products and have them sort of registered. There are some restrictions here in New Zealand and restrictions that are still taking place. And what we don't want is a prohibition approach to vaping, which can be very appealing when you start to sort of get a bit overreacty about it, but also because smoking has caused so much harm, disease, death actually, especially for Māori and Aotearoa. But what we don't want to do is conflate vaping and smoking, and because the commonality of course is the nicotine as opposed to the content of a cigarette. So there are new smoke-free legislation that's been proposed as well, so I could speak to that a wee bit.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, so the new legislation's been actually released now, I think, and essentially it contains a smoke-free generation clause, which means that nobody born after 1st of January 2009 will be able to buy tobacco products at all. And saying that, so we have a little bit of concern about that around too much on the prohibition side and not ending up with a black market situation. But one of the things that they haven't done is people won't be criminalised if that does occur, and they will still be able to, for example, do social exchange. So it's not so locked down, it's just really hard to buy. The other thing that will be hard to buy is the amount of places that you can buy them. They're literally capping the number of places you can buy tobacco products. And tobacco products, again, will all have to be approved, and the level of nicotine is going to be hugely reduced, so by 90%. So it'll be a lot harder to buy nicotine and tobacco, sorry, not nicotine, and be significantly reduced.
That was Trishel speaking with Sarah Helm from the New Zealand Drug Foundation about vaping culture and safety in New Zealand against the backdrop of the United States FDA decision to ban Juul vapes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.